Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. This is the Longhorn Confidential for Tuesday, November 21st. I'm Danny Davis, the Austin American Statesman. As always, joined by Kirk Bowles, Cedric Golden. They're currently at home. TJ is in New York City after watching the Longhorns play basketball the last couple of days, but he's about to jump on a plane and get on home. But we're going to switch up our format for this podcast, kind of change things up from what we usually do. Since it's a holiday weekend, I think we kind of need to have a little bit of a Thanksgiving extravaganza and have a little turkey-themed podcast here. So we're going to start with the first question. You know, on Thursday, when you have the family over, you're sitting around the table, there are certain things you don't talk about because they're just going to cause drama. You don't talk about politics. You don't talk about your dating life. You don't talk about family drama. And you may not want to talk about the Big 12 tiebreaker because that thing is a mess, as I personally found out this past weekend. But Kirk, I know you've been kind of on the phone with the office the last couple of days, trying to figure all this stuff out. You know, could you explain to your family on Thursday what's actually at play? Do you understand this tiebreaker at all? What's actually going on with this tiebreaker scenario?
Yeah, you're darn right. Texas wins are in. So all you need to know.
So smart.
I like to boil it down to the basics. Okay, so yeah, Bob Berger from the Big 12 office yesterday told me there are 128 possible outcomes, and it's kind of like when you order something on Amazon, easy to assemble, and you get there and like, you know, only 62 steps, you know, I just want nothing to do with stuff like that. So, yeah, best I can tell is Texas loses and K-State loses and Oklahoma and Oklahoma State win, Texas is out and OU and OSU are in. And so far, that's the only scenario I've been able to ascertain from the league office. So they haven't done a spreadsheet or anything like that. So, but they promised to do that after Friday's games. So
yeah. Are you sure about that, Kirk? Because based on what I read from the Big 12, this is how bad they are. They will update it after Texas game Friday, like you said.
After Friday.
Like, yeah, sure. Okay. That definitely makes it easier, but we kind of want to know beforehand.
But, kind of important, right? Kind of important. So
yeah, what a mess. This is
the league office told me it's a minuscule chance for Texas not to get in. But, you know, the way some of the officiating flags have gone, minuscule might be enough to keep them out. So best bet is to win the game, Danny. That's the best I got.
Okie State and OU will probably win. So if it sounds like Texas loses to Tech, I mean, that's not exactly minuscule.
No, and K-State plays Iowa State. It is in Manhattan, but yeah, you guys saw up close and personal how good Iowa State could be. They were at home. Yeah. But it's just absurd that it's come down to this. And I don't know, maybe you get this image of your Mark in his office with all these crumpled up piece of papers, you know, around his desk and just kind of keep coming up with scenarios. So, you know, it should be easy on all of us if Texas won, that we don't have to worry about any of that nonsense.
I will say, I don't think the Big 12 has necessarily bathed themselves with glory with how they've handled the this tiebreaker scenario. I mean, they did have to issue a clarification last week, which was kind of a mess and kind of got all the OU fans screaming conspiracy. And with all the uncertainty going into this week and it just being really hard to read, I'm sure there's some Texas fans who may be screaming conspiracy if you know, the team that's ranked seventh in the college football rankings somehow misses the Big 12 championship game. So I don't know if this is the future with there being so many teams in these conferences now, and you know, the Big 10 having, you know, what, 16 teams or whatever. I mean, it may be hard to just have a simple tiebreaker, and this is just what we're going to be dealing with every year from here on out going forward with these mega conferences. But man, that thing, I'm not the smartest person in the world, and I wasn't great in school, but man, I felt like I was taking like an econ 400 class or something like that, reading over that thing. That thing is tough to read. And, you know, there's a lot of people who are smarter than I am who were just as stumped and just as confused. So I don't know.
And the Big Ten's going to 18 teams next year. Yeah, it's just nuts. It's crazy.
Let's talk about some things that are a little bit funner than a tiebreaker scenario. But, you know, what does this Texas team have to be thankful for in 2023? I'm sure, you know, when we all sit around the table, we'll, you know, be thankful for our health and our family and, you know, still having jobs and all that. But as far as this Texas team, what does Steve Sarkisian and this crew have to be thankful for? Seth, we'll start with you.
Well, after what they went through in 2021, they have to be thankful that they were able to figure some things out. And as older players and coaches, that we're talking about them as a national championship contender, Big 12 tiebreaker be damned. And so we talked to Christian Jones on Monday, and he was thankful for Coach Flood, who just has turned him into like an NFL prospect. And Sarkisian was so good on Monday, talking about the culture of the team and talking about transparency and vulnerability and accountability and love. It feels like, and I don't want to go cliche here, Doug, because we've heard it so many times, it really feels like these guys care about each other this year. And you probably hear that more on 10-1 teams than you do on 6-5 teams, but I just feel a closeness and a kinship between those guys, and it starts at the top with the coach. So I think they're really thankful for the locker room, the love. We heard them after the game partying in that locker room. Danny and Thomas can tell you, Doug, those guys are having fun. There's love there, and I think they're happy for that.
EJ.
I think that be thankful for that depth that Sark has been talking about. And that means just the recruiting the last couple of years, the cycles have been so strong. I mean, look at CJ Baxter. You know, Jonathan Brooks is a Doak Walker candidate. He goes down with an injury. And, you know, they might miss a little beat without JB back there, but CJ stepped in the backfield, had a 100-yard game. The running game looked good. And to have a 5-star kid that's able to come in and take over Brooks's role, that's such a luxury. So be thankful for that recruiting staff that Sark and those guys have been doing the last few years.
Kirk?
10 wins, baby. Be thankful for 10 wins. It's only been since 2009 in the regular season. So had to win the Sugar Bowl in, what was it, 18 to get to 10 wins. So that's something that Longhorn fans and us in the media, we all kind of took that for granted. So 10 wins is a great one. Transfer portal. I would think Texas fans should be grateful for the portal because it brings you an A.D. Mitchell. It brings you a Ryan Watts. It brings you a Quinn Ewers. I mean, Texas really, you know, replenished its roster, and you can do that overnight, not just in Colorado. So they can be thankful for a home game against a rival, you know, for their last game to enhance their chances. I think all of us remember that game in Lubbock last year where we all got out with our lives after that field storming and overtime. And that was just a crazy affair. And I would think Texas fans could be grateful and thankful for the assurance of probably a CFP berth or a New Year's Six Bowl, you know, and that's been a minute since Sugar Bowl and some of the glory years of Mac Brown era. So they've got a lot on their plate to be thankful for.
I would say Texas should be thankful for some big defensive plays. I mean, we've seen some bad defenses here at Texas over the last 5-6 years, including the first year of this regime. But this defense has not been perfect. They've definitely had some issues, whether it's their past defense numbers or the end of the Oklahoma game. But Jahdae Barron, huge play against Houston to, you know, seal that win. Baron Sorrells, Byron Murphy, huge play to seal the Kansas State win, although that was kind of a collective effort. There was a lot of people who made a good play on that play. So, I mean, this defense has made some big stops and big moments to kind of keep Texas's championship hopes alive. And that's not something that I think a lot of us would have expected from this team even 2 years ago with PK and his defense, and these veteran players have definitely stepped up this season. When we talked to Christian Jones on Monday, and one of the questions, because I guess we got to ask the big guys this, was what Thanksgiving foods do you like and which Thanksgiving foods do you not like? And Christian Jones made a very impassioned defense is the wrong word, but he does not like cranberry sauce, and let us know why he didn't like it. And so I guess if cranberry sauce would ruin Christian Jones's Thanksgiving plate, which Red Raider would ruin Thanksgiving for Texas? Texas and Texas Tech playing on Friday night at 6:30 will be an ABC game. Obviously, we've talked about the implications for Texas in this game. So if Texas Tech is going to ruin the Longhorn season, which Red Raider is going to step up? TJ, I'll give you the alley-oop since you're doing basketball and give you the number one pick here.
I'm not. I'm going to leave Taj Brooks to y'all.
Okay.
The man of product. I love him. Great running back. But I'm telling you, if Tech has a chance of winning this game, it's going to be an ugly, low-scoring affair, in my opinion. And their kicker, Gino Garcia, would have to have a big game. And this Garcia kid, he's a big kid, 6'2", 215. His multiple 50-yard field goals this year already, he's hit from 55. He's been great. He's been 12 of 14 since going 2-5 against Wyoming in the opener. And now that Bert Auburn has kind of solidified himself as the favorite, as the all-Big 12 kicker, I think Garcia is the only one who could make a case. So Gino's the cranberry sauce for Texas in this Thanksgiving meal. Be careful. He's a good player.
Kirk?
I don't understand the cranberry thing at all. I mean, why would you waste valuable space in your tummy for something that should be ornamental? It's very pretty. I get that. So
get up, old man.
Sure. I don't understand it. So, but
Keep it moving. We'll get to food in a second.
Straight out of the can, cranberry sauce. You don't know my experience.
TJ, you spoke the truth first when you mentioned Taj Brooks. You know, guy's third in the nation. He's got to be the most underrated running back in college football. I mean, I'm on the All-American committee, and, you know, he was nominated for that. I mean, he's had 800-yard games, had another game with 98 yards. He's had 400-yard games in a row, but he's going up against the strength of this Texas defense. I mean, Texas defense is fifth in the nation now, giving up 82.7 yards a game. And Texas defense has held seven teams below 96 yards rushing. That's phenomenal. It's, you can make an argument, this is one of the best D-lines in school history against the run, no question about it. But Taj Brooks is the guy they got to stop.
Said.
Right, Sirico?
You can throw it on Texas if you got time. And Baron Martin came in for Tyler Shuck and has done a pretty good job. He's got some good receivers. Xavier Price, I believe, is the Xavier White, Miles Price have combined for about 75 catches. And those crossing routes are troublesome for this defense, for this secondary. And if they can hold their water up front, there's going to be some throwing lanes open. I mean, it's just how it's been this season. So I agree with Thomas. It might be a mutter, but I think they're going to come out and try to throw it because, as a layman, I look at these Texas games and these teams have tossed it around a little bit on the Longhorns. So I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to throw it and got Taj Brooks involved on some dump offs. They're a potential dangerous offense, but I love the Texas front, and if they can get pass pressure on the Red Raiders, I don't think it's going to be a problem. But I do think that the Red Raiders might hit a couple of big plays in the passing game.
I'll throw out a defensive name, Dadrian Taylor Demmerman, who has four interceptions this year. He is going to be probably a game time decision, according to our friends in Lubbock at the Avalanche Journal, with a groin issue. But if he is out there, that's a defensive back that Texas definitely needs to be aware of when they're asking Quinny Roos to pass. And then I think, you know, we got to also talk about Brett Yarmark's favorite coach, Joey McGuire. I mean, the reason Texas Tech won that game last year is because And they had a lot of stuff to say after the game, but they backed up that talk. They were incredibly aggressive. They did not care about leaving their offense on the field for fourth down. They just were not intimidated by this Texas team and felt that they could exploit them in certain areas by just being really aggressive. So it'll be interesting to see if Joey chooses to again be aggressive, because this game, you know, is you don't want to, you know, use that Super Bowl cliche, but a win over Texas gives Texas Tech a lot of momentum going into the offseason with signing day just a couple days away. And you know, Joey will definitely have this plastered all over the bulletin board if he pulls off another win, especially in Austin. So I would give him as my nominee. This game, like I said, played on Black Friday. I haven't covered a Texas game on Thanksgiving, but I know that used to be a tradition here until about 2011 when Justin Tucker sent Texas A&M off to the SEC with that kick. But since Texas and Texas A&M are going to start playing again next year, I'm kind of curious. We'll start with Kirk and Seth, since they've been around this rivalry for a while. Does this game need to resume being played on Thanksgiving, or does it matter when on the calendar it is played? Kirk, we'll start with you.
I wouldn't say Thanksgiving per se, but I would say Thanksgiving weekend. Thanksgiving has been co-opted by the NFL, and we all know how this country feels about the NFL. So don't knock your head against the wall. But to me, it'd be absolutely criminal not to bring this game back and not play it that week. You know, whether it's Friday or Saturday, to me, is irrelevant. And Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, is on record as saying, you know, one of the things, I know everybody's gone crazy in their heads have exploded over all this massive realignment, but one thing he has said is that OU and Texas, they're at least contiguous states, and they're all aligned geographically, unlike the Pac-12, which is going to cross three time zones, you know. And then the other thing, too, he said it restores rivalries. He's kind of bragged about that, and he did it again, I think, in Dallas at the Texas OU game. So if you really want to restore rivalry, like Texas Arkansas, like Texas A&M, restore it to its natural position on Thanksgiving week. And I just think it'd be criminal and insane not to do that. Agree, Sid?
Sid, you're up.
The host muted me. Daniel, you muted me. You've been waiting 15 years to do that. Admit it, Daniel Davis. And you're muted yourself. I can't even hear you.
He's doing the people's work, Sid.
Oh, my God. He is doing God's work here.
We're a mess over here at 9 o'clock in the morning.
His Twitter followers just went up 8,000, folks. So I wouldn't do it on Thanksgiving Day because it's Cowboys and nobody, you know, and I always liked it when it was on Friday, you know, maybe on a Friday would be great, or a Saturday, because college football is about rivalries. College football is about tradition. College football is about doing it like they used to do it. And Thanksgiving weekend for Aggies, Longhorns, that would be a perfect weekend of football with the Cowboys, who I guess we care about them at the Statesman. I'm not sure about that, Duck. The Cowboys and the Aggies in a weekend with all the other games is just wonderful. Texas playing anyone else on Thanksgiving, it's been weird these last 10 or 11 years watching them play other teams when they should be playing the Aggies. So I'm with the Duck. Put them on Friday, put them on Saturday. Preferably for me, I'd love to do it on Friday so we can probably get that Saturday off and get ready for the conference championship game in the SEC.
Hey, Thomas, I did not mute you, so you can chime in.
No, I agree with both you guys. Closing the regular season, and I think Friday really works well, but closing the regular season against the Aggies is, you know, that's what it should be with Texas and A&M. You know, having Texas Tech this weekend, that's nice, you know, but the Red Raiders are like a cheap imitation for a rivalry compared to A&M. They're like one of these knockoff Gucci's I saw on 8th Avenue down the street here in New York. Like, they're the knockoffs. The Aggies are the real Gucci when it comes to the rivalry. Bring A&M back. Bring Aggie back. play on Friday, because like said, and Kirk and Seth said, the NFL belongs on Thanksgiving now. They own Thanksgiving. So, yeah, let's get A&M back on Friday. It only makes sense.
Yeah, I just definitely timestamped that little rant so I can send that off to our digital people as the what we're going to pull for social media, the invitation. I'm sure that'll get lots of clicks and attention. Good thing TJ does not have to go back. He may have to go back there during basketball season. Personally,
about that.
I don't really care when the game is played. I just want the game to be played. Sure, it'll be cool if they do play it like on a Black Friday. Maybe you can get, you know, an SEC triple header with, you know, Auburn, Alabama, you know, the Egg Bowl as well. Just kind of have a day full of rivalry games. I'm sure that would be a lot of fun for the TV viewers at home. But I'm just happy that this game is being played again. But as we've seen, you know, a Texas rivalry game in October does well too. So wherever the game is on the calendar, I think Texas fans should be happy to have it back. I wouldn't mind if it's not on Thanksgiving, just because I do like to have some family time during the football season. But I'm sure Greg Sankey and all of our friends at the SEC really are not thinking about my personal schedule when they're making this decision. So I won't hold it against them if they do choose to put it on Thanksgiving. But speaking of Thanksgiving, we know what Kirk's answer is not going to be. What's your favorite Thanksgiving food? We got to ask that question before we get out of here. What's going to be on everyone's table this weekend? And I guess, Kirk, where are you sending your leftover cranberry sauce to?
Anybody that wants it. I don't know. Vicky may have it somewhere on the table. It won't appear on my plate. You know, I'm a turkey dressing, mashed potatoes guy, the Holy Trinity of Thanksgiving fare. And, you know, I just need to keep as much room for that and some pie afterwards. So I'm not in all the frilly stuff. And I don't know about you guys. I love Thanksgiving leftovers too. I could eat that for five straight days, which is one reason we're thawing out a 20-pound turkey today.
EJ, what's going to be at the Jones on the Jones family table?
Well, you know, my favorite thing about Thanksgiving, I like it all. And plus, I'm just going to say my wife does a nice little cranberry sauce with real cranberries, not that slippery thing that comes out of a can.
The can, sir. The can.
The pies, man. I'm all about the pies. I'm all about the pumpkin pie, the pecan pie, the sweet potato pie. And I like having that pie for breakfast, like for the next week after Thanksgiving.
Nice.
That's my holiday tradition, man. Cup of coffee and a piece of pie. Friday morning, Saturday morning, Sunday morning.
Don't forget the whipped cream.
Oh, I don't, man. I put in my coffee and on the pie.
There you go. Man, after my heart.
Man, yeah.
Sid, what's going on in Tyler? What's going to be?
Don't say the C word.
Well, you know, a lot of you know my mom passed in July, and it was her dressing was the talk of the town. There would be people calling up and paying her money to fix them her special dressing. So my nephew's going to attempt to make it. I'm not eating that, I'm going to go. I'm going to go with the turkey, some potato salad, and some you know, maybe some dressing if someone else wants to make it. It'll have to be so, you know, my sister-in-law makes a good dressing, so it's going to be different this year because my mom's not with us. But I give thanks for 57 great dressing meals on Thanksgiving, and her birthday's coming up on the 25th, and y'all know I miss her dearly. And Kirk had something in his nine things today. Lost a classmate, and cling to your loved ones and hug them tight, because you just never know when it's the last time. So giving thanks for family and friends. And you know, I love you guys too.
Well said, Sid. Well said.
Tough for me to follow up talking about pumpkin pie now, but that's what I'm going to do. Not a seamless transition, but I'll skip straight to pumpkin pie. I don't really think you can go wrong with really anything on the Thanksgiving table. My in-laws always do it big, and I'm definitely going to gain more weight than I need to with the way that my body currently looks. But I'm also with Kirk. You know, I think the leftovers is kind of where it's at. Friday, I'll definitely be opening up the fridge, taking out some turkey, taking out two slices of bread. You know, if we have some Swiss cheese in there, that'll be great too. And I'm definitely putting some cranberry sauce in that sandwich too. And
show him, Daniel, tell him.
I'm big fan of the leftover turkey sandwiches. Those always mm-hmm. hit. Those are always delicious, and I can't complain. I'm going to be eating well for a few days because of Thanksgiving. It's probably the best eaten holiday. Jade, when we were talking to him yesterday, wasn't a huge fan of Thanksgiving. Was a bigger fan of Christmas, and you know, mentioned his birthday is his which is coming up in a couple days too. Is his the next big holiday on the calendar. But for me, Thanksgiving is always a good time for family and food, and I'll definitely be enjoying myself on Thursday and watching some football as well as we get ready for football. But you know, the football team is not the only one on the calendar this week. There's some other stuff going on around campus, so we're going to quickly fly through those so we can kind of get you prepped if you want to root on some of the Longhorns. The Longhorn volleyball team, which is ranked fourth nationally, they will be playing Texas Tech on Saturday as well. That's actually their regular season finale. Then the NCAA selection show is on Sunday night. We'll see if they can get a top four seed as they try to defend their national championship. Jared Elliott and his crew said got to go see them last week. Thomas has obviously been following them throughout the season, and we'll see if they can make it back to back. The women's basketball team ranked 12th in the AP poll this week. They are actually in the Virgin Islands for Thanksgiving. You know, tough break for Vic Schaefer and the ladies having to spend you're gonna spend time away from the family, might as well spend it somewhere like the Virgin Islands. They'll be at the Paradise Jam tournaments, which starts actually on Thanksgiving. Play Arizona that Thursday night, then play High Point on Friday, South Florida on Saturday before they come on home. And then the men's basketball team, they'll be in action on Sunday. They play Wyoming. They are ranked 15th in the AP poll to split their two games up in New York City, where Thomas is currently at. So yeah, that's kind of what's going on around campus. Obviously the big game is on Friday night, Texas versus Texas Tech over at DKR, 6:30 ABC. If you want to watch it on TV, we'll be there. We hope to see you out there too. We hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for watching us on YouTube, the website, listening to us wherever you get your podcast. We're thankful for y'all. We're thankful for family, and yeah, we'll see y'all down the road.
Deuces. Love you guys.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.